Good morning. I welcome you to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. We're glad that you have tuned in this morning. This program is brought to you by the Memorial Boulevard Church of Christ, meeting at 2509 Memorial Boulevard in Springfield, Tennessee. My name is Chris Reeves. I'm your host for the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm also the minister for the Memorial Boulevard Church of Christ, and we'd be glad to have you come to our Bible classes. We are currently in an adult study of the book of Isaiah. We have Bible classes for all ages. We have a service that is uplifting and according to God's Word, and we would be glad to have you come visit us at any time. We're glad that you've tuned in this morning. We're going to be looking at the subject this morning of victories in conversion. Victories in conversion. When a person is converted to Christ and becomes a child of God, he wins so many victories over the devil. And we want to consider that this morning along the lines of being victorious over the devil. That is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, victory of all time. John writes in the book of Revelation in chapter 15 and verse 2, he's speaking of those who are in heaven. He said, I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that come off victorious from the beast, and from his image, and from the number of his name, standing by the sea of glass, having harps of God, and they sing the song of Moses, and the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 15, verse 2 and 3. These saints in heaven come off victorious from the beast. The beast is the world power at that time, Rome, who had been doing the will of the devil, and that great dragon that is described in Revelation chapter 12. And they came off victorious. They remained faithful to the Lord. They did not do what the devil wanted the world to do. And so, victories in conversion. The theme of victory is actually running different places throughout the New Testament. In Romans chapter 8, verses 37 and 38, Paul says that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, we put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand the devil. John writes in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13, I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. So the theme of victory runs throughout the New Testament. Are you winning the battle with the devil? Who is winning, you or the devil, in this great contest, this great struggle for your soul? Who is going to win? I don't know of anybody that likes to lose a contest or a game or a competition. We all like to win, don't we? We like to be on the winning side. What is more important than being on the winning side with Jesus Christ with regard to our soul? In the judgment day, either Christ will have our soul or the devil will have our soul. And we need to be victorious over the devil right now so that in that judgment day it can also be said of us that we have come off victorious from the beast. I want to talk this morning about victories in conversion. When a person takes the steps to be converted and to be right with Christ, each step is a victory. A person needs to hear the Word of God. A person needs to believe the Word of God and have faith in Jesus Christ. A person needs to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. A person needs to be willing to repent of their sin. A person needs to be baptized for the remission of their sins, and a person needs to remain faithful and live faithful thereafter. Each of these six things, each of these six steps is a victory over the devil. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning. Let's take the first step, hearing the Word of God, reading it, hearing it. This is a victory over ignorance, prejudice, superstition, or tradition. The devil would like us just to stay in ignorance and not learn the truth. He would like us to be prejudiced against God's Word, to be superstitious about things of this life and not really learn the truth, to just simply follow a man-made tradition or the way that they were raised. But hearing God's Word gives us the truth to be right with God, and at the same time, it is a victory over the devil. We should have a strong desire to hear God's Word. I think of young Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 9, when the Lord said, "Samuel, Samuel," he said, "Here am I. Speak, Lord, thy servant hears." I think of those in Berea in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, when Paul came and preached there, they examined the scriptures daily. They searched the scriptures. They wanted to know the truth. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25 that we are not to refuse him who speaks. And so, when we hear the word of God, it is a victory over the devil. But Satan wins if he can get you not to listen to the word of God, even this morning as we talk about God's word. Close our ears, stop our ears, if not literally, figuratively, when we just simply say, "I don't want to hear anymore." Do you remember when Stephen was preaching in Jerusalem in Acts 7 and verse 57? The Jews no longer wanted to hear him, and so they stopped their ears, and they rushed upon him, and they stoned him. Some hear physically, but they don't want to hear the truth and change their lives. Their hearts do not want to receive the message. Jesus talks in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 13, I'm sorry, the parable of the sower, after the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower, in verses 14 and 15, Jesus said, "Some will close their eyes, they will close their ears, they will harden their heart. They do not want to receive the message." And so, friend, if you don't want to listen to God's word, the devil is winning. But if you will listen to it and hear it and obey it, you beat the devil. Why is it so important to preach and hear God's word? Because it is hearing that leads to salvation. Cornelius said to Peter in Acts chapter 10, verse 33, "We are all present to hear the things that are commanded." And in Acts chapter 11 and verse 14, they were to hear words whereby they would be saved. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 7, faith comes by hearing. They were to hear the message. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17. So from the standpoint of preaching, you help Satan to win when you don't preach the word of God, the truth, and when you don't listen to the truth. And so we need to always be letting the Bible speak. And that's one reason why we have this program every week. We want to dispel any ignorance, prejudice, superstition, tradition, and just simply come to what the Scripture teaches. That's why Jesus sent his apostles into all the world to preach the gospel. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Mark 16, 15 and 16. To preach the gospel to all the world. Why? Because when a person hears, he gains a victory over the devil. The second step is to believe what we hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, 17. And when we believe the message that we've heard and we place our faith in Christ, it is another victory over the devil. It's a victory over doubt, skepticism, mocking, and unbelief. The devil wants us to doubt what we've heard, to be skeptical, to mock at it, to just simply not believe. But faith is a solid conviction that what we have heard is true. And so we have a solid conviction about something or someone. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, "I know him whom I have believed." I know him. It's a solid conviction. And it takes a stand for what is true. It stands on truth. It stands on the truth of what is heard. Jesus calls faith a work of God in John chapter 6 and verse 29. We do what God wants us to do when we have that belief. And so it's very important. But Satan wins if he can get you to remain in unbelief after you have heard the gospel message. He wins. And often that is the case. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, that the God of this world, the small g, God of this world, the devil, blinds the minds of many individuals so that the light of the gospel will not shine upon them. And so you can hear the word of God, but if you just close your ears to it, then the devil still wins. If he can get you to remain ignorant, if he can get you not to act upon what you've heard, then he still wins. That's why it is so important to believe God and his word. Belief leads to salvation. We must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, in order to be set free. Jesus said, "Except you believe that I am, you will die in your sins." John 8:24. Romans 1:16, the gospel is God's power unto salvation to all who believe. And we must believe in Jesus Christ, Acts 16 and verse 31. And so how does that come about? By reading about Him in God's Word. And so that is extremely important, that we hear the Word of God and then that we believe the Word of God and act upon it. It is impossible to be well-pleasing to God unless we believe, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. A third victory over the devil is in the matter of repentance. When we hear the Word of God and when we make a change in our life, that is a victory over the devil. We repent. It's a victory over pride, rebellion, stubbornness, indifference, or indecision. You see, the devil wants us just simply to have a pride and say, I can live any way I want. And I don't have to obey the Word of God. And there's a rebellion there. There's a stubbornness there. And if he can get us to stay in those conditions and we do not repent and turn our life around and turn away from sin, then he's got us where he wants us. But we need to say to the devil, I want to repent. I'm going to stop my sinful way and gain a victory over him. If it's not rebellion or pride or stubbornness, it could be just simple indifference or indecision, where a person says, well, you know, I just don't want to make any changes today. It doesn't really matter to me one way or the other. I don't have any plans of doing anything. What you're saying is fine, but I don't want to make any changes. And so we just stay where we're at spiritually. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of action. And we need to repent and come back. And Jesus said in Luke 15 that the angels of heaven rejoice when one sinner repents. To turn our life around and to stop doing what we're doing, turn around 180 degrees, go back the opposite direction of doing what is right. We need to repent. But Satan wins if he can get you to feel comfortable with your life and just do nothing. Satan wins if he can get you to refuse to admit wrong. So many people just will not repent. They will not change. Jesus said, except you repent, you will likewise perish. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Repentance is so important. Why? Because it leads to salvation, just like hearing the Word of God and believing the Word of God. Repentance leads us to coming to Christ and changing our life. God commands all men everywhere that they should repent. Acts 17, 30 and 31. We have to repent and turn our life around. It might be sexual immorality. It might be things involving alcohol. It might be things involving drugs or lying or stealing or cheating. It might be adultery, fornication, homosexuality. It might be a number of different kinds of sins. We have to stop those things. And God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And so we need what Paul calls in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 9, a godly sorrow, where we're truly sorrowful for our sin, and we want to repent and turn around. And so on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Repent and be baptized. And so it is extremely important that we do that very thing. Don't let the devil beat you in that area where he just gets you to stay comfortable and then you just don't want to make a change in your life. And friend, the longer you stay in a sinful life away from Jesus Christ, the easier it is just to stay in that life all the way through. We get comfortable, we get satisfied, and we're okay with the way we live. And we won't read our Bible. We won't attend a church service. We won't come and be baptized into Christ. We're just happy with where we're at. Don't let the devil beat you in that area. Be victorious over him and say no to him today and come and make that change. But we also need to confess. Number four, we need to have a victory over the devil in the area of confession, confessing that Jesus is the Christ. When we confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, this is a victory over cowardice, timidity, fear, shame, and maybe even tolerance, where we tolerate all things. But so many people are scared. They're a coward. They're fearful. They don't want to say to others, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and I'm going to follow Him. Jesus said that we must confess Him in this life if we hope to be confessed in the judgment day. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. If we deny Him in this life, He will deny us before His Father. So we must be willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Confession is a conviction. It's not a bragging. It's not a haughty, arrogant, self-centered statement. It's a conviction of truth, and we are telling others that we believe that that is true, and we are going to identify with Jesus and become one of His followers, faithful followers. And so it is extremely important. But Satan wins if he can get you just simply to keep quiet and not open your mouth and show your conviction. I think about the parents of the man who was born blind. Jesus healed this man, and his parents knew that it was Jesus who did it, but they would not confess Jesus to the crowds because they feared to lose their friends and be cast out of the synagogue. There were Pharisees in John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. Who would not confess that Jesus was the Christ because they feared men. In fact, do you know, friend, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, that one group of people in hell are the cowards, the cowardly? We don't think about that sometimes. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, read it. The fearful, the abominable, the cowards. These are people who don't want to stand up and confess Jesus Christ. And so we need to be mindful of that. The devil says, what will your friends or family think if you say that Jesus is the Christ? And they get it. He gets us to be worried about that and bothered by that and scared about that. So we just don't say anything. It is very important to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, because confession leads to salvation, just like all of these other steps do. Hearing, believing, repenting. So confession does as well. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10, because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's something that we absolutely must do. And so we must confess the good confession. We must be willing to say that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and gain that victory over the devil. Are you willing to do that, friend? Or are you simply going to allow the devil to keep you quiet where you just don't say anything? Like those parents in John chapter 9, verses 18 through 23, they wouldn't speak up and say, I believe that Jesus worked this miracle on our son, and I'm going to identify with Him. I'm going to follow Him. They just kept quiet because they were concerned about what their friends might say or think. They didn't want to lose their place in society, and so many people are bothered by that today. Who's winning the battle, friend? With many people, maybe even listening to this program, the devil is winning the battle. But you can stand up today and come and obey the gospel the way you need to do it, and you can be victorious over the devil. Say no to him and say to him, I'm going to hear the word of God and believe it. I'm going to repent and stop my sinful ways today. I'm going to confess before others that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that is a confession that is made before others. It is not just something we privately do in our home. It's not something that we, do in the privacy of our life and don't let anybody know, and then all of a sudden we believe that we're fine with God. There are some things that we have to do in front of others, and confession is one. And then this next point is also the case. We must be baptized into Christ. And so let's talk about number five, baptism. Baptism is a victory over some things. And it's a victory over what man has taught about baptism and false doctrines. Many people say that you don't have to be baptized in order to be saved. I find that interesting when Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. That's like saying 2 and 2 equals 4. Nobody questions that. But when it comes to baptism, people say, well, he that believeth is already saved at that point and then later can be baptized if he wants to or not. But that's not what Jesus said. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Peter said on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Both repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Not repent and then you get remission of sins and then later, if you want to, you can be baptized. That's not what he said. Baptism has fallen under much human wisdom and false doctrine. And so when a person is baptized for the remission of their sins, it's really a victory over what man has taught about that for many years. Baptism is immersion in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. It washes away our sins, Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. Ananias told Saul to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. That's why Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, baptism doth also now save you. Some people say baptism doesn't save. Well, Peter said baptism doth also now save you. In what way? It's not the physical water that saves, but when we obey what Jesus said to do, it saves. And not only that, but it's in baptism that we contact the death and the blood of Jesus Christ. Paul said that we are buried with Christ in baptism into his death, Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. So in that sense, baptism saves. That's how it saves. It's not us trusting in the water. It's not something physically in the water. It's the place where God said, I will wash away your sins. He does not wash away sins by faith only. That is commonly taught. He washes away sins in the waters of baptism. And so we must engage in that very kind of thing. But Satan wins if he can get you to think, I don't need to be baptized. You know, there were those who the Lord wanted to be baptized in John's baptism, Luke chapter 7, verses 29 and 30, but they wouldn't be baptized. They wouldn't come to John and be baptized. Others did. The humble did. The repentant did. The God-fearing did. But many, especially among the Jewish leadership, they would not come and be baptized of John's baptism. So the devil gets us just simply to say, I don't need to do that. He also wins if he can get you to change something about baptism. You know, some have changed the mode of baptism. In the New Testament, it's always immersion, going down in and being immersed in the water. That's what the word actually means, to dip or to immerse. But many years after the New Testament, some changed the mode of baptism and they started doing it by sprinkling a little water or pouring a little water. That's not Bible baptism. Some have changed baptism by changing the person who's being baptized. In the New Testament, it is always someone old enough to hear and believe and confess Jesus Christ. But years after the New Testament, some changed that and they began to baptize, or what they call baptize, sprinkle a little water on babies or infants. And you never see that in the New Testament. You never find that. And then some, after the New Testament, changed the purpose of baptism. In the New Testament, baptism was for the remission of our sins. Baptism was to wash away our sins. But years later, some changed that and said that baptism is to cause you to join a particular church or make you a member of a church. You're saved by faith only, and then baptism is what you do in order to join a particular church. And that's just simply not the purpose of baptism. So we don't need to change anything about baptism or anything else in the Word of God for that matter. If we try to change it, if we do change it, we're just simply doing what man teaches. And if we go along with that, then Satan certainly wins. In baptism, we are victorious over sin and Satan. And so in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, we can come out of the power of darkness, we can come into the kingdom of Christ if we will be baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. In baptism, we put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. And then last of all, friend, that's not the end of it. Baptism is not the end of your spiritual journey. It's only the beginning. We must continue to live faithfully every day. The Bible does not teach once saved, always saved. The Bible teaches that we can fall from grace. Galatians chapter 6, verses 3, 4, and 5. We can fall away. The book of Hebrews tells us that we can come short of the grace of God. In Hebrews chapter 12, we're told that there. And so we can fall away from the living God. And we need to be very careful about that. The Bible doesn't teach once saved, always saved. And so we need to engage in faithful living each day. And when we do, it's a victory. It's a victory over any obstacles or hindrances or pitfalls that the devil may put in our way, any temptations. We're going to live faithfully each day. Faithful living is required of every Christian. It's a part of the journey. It's a part of our wilderness wandering, if you will, on our way to Canaan land. And so Satan tries to keep us out of the church. If he cannot do this, then he tries to get you to fall back into the world. And if he cannot get you to do this, then he tries to make you ineffective in the church itself. One way or the other, he wants you to come back to him. And so faithful living is what is going to keep us from doing that very thing. You know, we might have to engage in faithful living over different sins that are out there, sexual sins, various kinds of temptations. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 that we can bear up under all the temptations that the devil gives us. God gives us a way of escape. We may need to be faithful over any kind of false doctrine. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We may need to be faithful over works of the flesh and live faithfully there. We may need to have faithful living over immaturity. We need to grow up. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 and following. It may be persecution that we have to undergo. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 39. Sometimes faithful individuals are heavily persecuted. But either way, whether it's sin, false doctrine, works of the flesh, immaturity, persecution, or other kinds of things, we can live faithfully. There have been those who have gone on before. Hebrews chapter 11 teaches us that. Who've lived faithfully, gone on to heaven that way, and we can follow their example. Friend, as we come to the close of our lesson, I want you to be victorious in conversion. The unconverted and the unfaithful, that's just simply a life of defeat. Satan wins and you lose. But if you will hear the word of God, if you'll believe it and put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you'll confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you'll repent of your sins, if you'll be baptized for the remission of your sins, if you will live faithfully thereafter, you will be victorious and we can overcome. John said in 1 John 5 and verse 4, that faith overcomes the world. Why not begin your life of victory now? And if we can assist you, if we can help you, let's get together for a study. Please contact us. Come worship with us. Please contact us. We can study with you. Begin your life of victory now. Thank you for listening this morning.